We'd love for you to have one. We still have a few left, even though we have about 8 weeks left. So if you don't have one of these, see myself or Nancy afterwards, and we'll be glad to get you one of these. It puts the scripture and the entire scripture in a narrative context. And so today we're in chapter 24 about the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. Will you show us the review video, please?
Almost everywhere Jesus went, huge crowds came to see and hear him. One time, he began teaching by a lake. The crowd became so big that he actually had to speak from a boat out in the water. Jesus often told stories, called parables, about everyday life that were symbolic of who God was and what it meant to live in God's ways. Jesus also performed many miracles everywhere he went. He healed sick people and even raised some from the dead. He could also control the weather. One time, when Jesus and his followers were in a boat on a lake, a huge storm came in and the boat began to fill with water. Despite the storm blowing the boat around, Jesus was asleep. Panicked, his followers woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the storm was gone. Many people were amazed at the miracles Jesus performed, but the religious leaders, called Pharisees, started to question where Jesus got his power from. At one point, they even accused him of getting power from the devil. King Herod was also fearful of Jesus. A short time earlier, Herod had thrown John the Baptist in jail. He wanted to kill John, but knew that he was a holy man and feared what might happen if he did. Then one day, Herod's daughter was dancing and entertaining Herod's guests at a banquet. Herod was pleased with her and told her she could have anything she requested. Herod's wife stepped in, telling their daughter that she should request the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Herod was fearful, but what could he do? He had promised to give his daughter what she requested, and so he had John beheaded, and the executioners brought his head into the banquet. As Jesus' fame grew, King Herod began to worry that Jesus would bring John back from the dead. Even Jesus' followers began to have second thoughts about him, but his 12 closest followers stuck by Jesus for what was sure to be tough times ahead.
So as you can see, there is a lot in this chapter. This chapter in the story has a ton of stuff in it. And it gets pretty hard to kind of think, okay, where do you go from here? So, we're going to do our best, and we're going to take a look at it. I've been thinking this week of a Christmas carol, believe it or not. Shalice is like, yes, because she's so excited for Christmas. But I've been thinking of that song, Sleigh Bells Ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. And that's the most you'll ever hear a solo from me. But I've been thinking about that phrase. And I that first line, and it kind of makes me want to go, Jesus taught, are you listening? That phrase, are you listening? Are you listening? And so one of the things that happens in this parable or in this chapter is Jesus tells this amazing parable, the parable of the four types of soil, the good soil that we just read, so we have the good soil. We have the soil along the path or along the road. That what happens to that seed? This, he says, Satan comes and takes it. Then we have the soil where it lands on rocky and doesn't take root, and that's where Satan comes down and where circumstances and where persecution pushes people away. And then you have the soil that kind of the birds take away, or among the thorns, and that's where the worries of life. So this one is inner, the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, our desires, that's where the thorns are, and the birds are the persecution, the outside world, circumstances outside of our control, taking the seed. And then you have the good soil that produces a good crop, right? And he's telling the disciples, it's time for you to listen. You need to hear this. And so throughout this whole passage, and Jesus teaches in three ways. Jesus teaches using parables, everyday story connections. Parables, things that people can relate to. And if their hearts are open to it, they'll catch the meaning most of the time. So that's the first way. The second way Jesus teaches is direct. And so this is be the Sermon on the Mount. And this would be Jesus saying, look, if you do this, then this. And so he's very direct in his words. And so he's very profound in his words. And it's not the subtleness that a parable has. And he's very direct. And the third way that Jesus teaches is by experience. And to help people observe and experience and see it on a sensory basis on how to learn. And we're learning even in schools, and it's called pedagogy. That's a really technical term. But what that means is how people learn. And Jesus was a master of how people learn. So that's what's happening in much of this passage. So today we are going to attempt to do something a little bit different. You'll notice on this screen, and I'm using this screen for a couple of reasons. One is mostly because of the online, but I'll switch it up here so you guys can see it a little bit better too. Just remind me to switch it back, right? Okay. So we have four colors. Now in the seat pockets in front of you, you'll see four cards. Everybody needs a set of those cards. They're colored cards. Breton, yours are underneath the where I think Abby is sitting on the rack. Are they there? Or did I put them there? I thought I did. Are there? Yeah. So, and if you can't find a set of cards, there's some in other various seat pockets. Make sure everybody has a set. You'll see four colors, right? Everybody has a set. Now, for those of you that participate as a whole, maybe if I need to, maybe what I'll do is put your name in a drawing and I'll take you out for coffee. Unless the governor says I can't. All right. Okay, so everybody's got a card, all right? And so we're going to look at this chapter. And so you'll notice that the black is along the path. You'll notice that white is the rocky ground, that the red is the thorns, and the green is good soil. So this morning, we're going to look at different stories from this chapter, in chapter 24, and we're going to figure out, are their hearts good soil, or are their hearts thorny soil, or are their hearts rocky, or what? You know, which soil are they? So the thing is here is, in just a minute, I'm going to show you and give you a little bit of background, and then I'm going to ask you to show your card. And we're just going to say. Now, and then I'll show you what I would have chosen or what I choose them to be. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. What it means is that you may have a different perspective, and that's okay. And maybe it just might help you to learn a little bit about good soil. So our first one today is the tax collectors and sinners. So in the story, it says the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law mattered. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So the tax collectors and sinners and the Pharisees all are kind of in this group. So that's the background of who this is in the story. So would you say that they're good soil? Would you say that they're rocky soil, thorny soil? Or that Satan has just come and it's like next to the path and doesn't even take root? Which one would you say? Go ahead and show you. Show your card. I see a white, I see blacks. I see a lot of you not participating. Do I need to go over the rules? So pick the card that you think represents the soil, okay? For the tax collectors and sinners, all right? I would have picked, drum roll please, I would have picked red because it seems like the tax collectors and the sinners, so some, and you may have picked black. That doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you what I would have picked. And I get to explain why. But it's like some of the sinners and the tax collectors, and then all of a sudden they were just kind of pulled a little bit. It kind of like they were too worried about what everybody else would think. That's to me. Okay? So the next one is the expert of the law. And let me give you the background on this one. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Jesus, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. So it's a parable. So he explains and says, it talks about the Good Samaritan, and I think most of you are familiar with it. It's where a Samaritan ends up helping somebody who's been beaten by a robber. And the Samaritans are the outsider, the enemy. And Jesus is saying you need to love your neighbor and love your neighbor as yourself. And so the guy says, well, who's my neighbor? So Jesus tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then Jesus tells him, the expert in the law replies, the one who had mercy on him is his neighbor. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. So do you think, and we don't really know how he responded, do you think his heart was rocky soil? Do you think his heart was thorny soil on the path? Or do you think his heart was good soil? All right, hold up your cards. I'm assuming, Chris, is that green? Okay, it's a kind of a Christmassy shimmery. So from up here, that light looks a little blue. That's why I'm like, I think that's the green card. Okay. Oops. All right. So I see some reds. I see some whites. I see a green. Okay. I see some blacks. I would have chosen red here too because it seems to me. And again, you may see something differently. And hopefully you're saying, well, here's why I would have done that. And if you're saying that and if you're thinking that, then you're processing this information, right? Okay? So I would have picked red, partly because it seems to me like the expert of the law was kind of trying to trap Jesus and kind of trying to find a way. And it seems like he's a little too concerned about, he's trying to find an excuse. And so it's an inward excuse and an inward distraction, so which the thorns are. That's why I would choose thorns. But doesn't mean mine's right and yours is wrong. It simply means that's what I would choose. All right? So good. I see how you guys are doing, and you're kind of getting the hang of this. We started out with a couple of tough ones, didn't we? Maybe it'll get a little easier for us. So in the story of the in chapter 24, we have the demon-possessed man. So Jesus and his disciples have sailed to the other side, and there's this man there who is demon-possessed, whose heart, who comes running up to Jesus, and then Jesus casts the demons into the pigs. Okay? So he cast the demons in that man and cast them into the pigs. We'll stop there for that for now, okay? So would you say that his heart was good soil? Would you say that his heart was rocky soil, thorny soil? What would you choose on this one? I see some greens. I see some more green. I see a red. I see a white. I think that's a black. Okay. Interesting. Good. I think this one can be kind of argued to several places. I think when he first comes to Jesus, I think there's that kind of that black or white, but I think he turns his heart into green, because at the end, after Jesus heals him, he's like, hey, I just want to be with you. And Jesus says, go, I want you to tell your family. So I think that his heart ends up green, and that his heart was good soil, and even though there was that journey to get there, he still gets there. So that's what I think. Because I think he's hearing the word of the Lord and responding to it and understanding it. Okay? Now, we have the village people. So Jesus has healed the demon-possessed man, has created and done this huge miracle, and he's thrown the demons into the pigs, and the pigs run off the cliff, right? And you may remember a long time ago, some of you were here, some of you weren't, but we talked about this. You know, Jesus, you know why pigs are grown in Iowa, right? Because there's not a sea. There's a couple lakes, but it's pasture and dry land. And where Tammy and I grew up, there was a million pigs within in our county. So every dollar that market went up impacted our economy by $1 million. It was pretty crazy. And you guys thought cows smelled bad. I'm telling you, those pig farms are horrible. Okay? So these people are mad, and they are so angry at Jesus, and they don't care that the demon-possessed man has been healed and changed and brought new life. So the village people come out and tell Jesus, we want you to leave. So where the heart's good soil, rocky soil where it takes a little bit of root, but circumstances choke it. Black soil, where it never even takes root. What would you say? Throw up your card. Oh, interesting. A few red, a few blacks. Okay. Interesting. I personally would have chosen the black. And again, it doesn't make it right, but I would have chosen the black because they're not even noticing. To me, they're not even noticing what Jesus has done for the guy, and they're telling Jesus, get out of here. We don't want anything to do with you. All right? So, next story. Or next note. Jairus. So, in the story, Jesus and his disciples get back in the boat and leave after the people tell him to leave. They land, and Jairus is a synagogue leader, and he comes running to Jesus and asks Jesus to heal his 12-year-old daughter. And he says, Jesus, heal my 12-year-old daughter. In that process, a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years comes to Jesus and touches his cloak, his prayer shawl, and is healed. And so in that time, while Jairus is waiting, his servants come running up to Jairus and say, you don't have to worry about this anymore. Your daughter has died. So, was Jairus good soil? Rocky soil? Soil on the path? Soil, thorny soil? This one's a tough one. Show up your cards. Green. I see some greens. I see some greens. I see some reds. I see him. Okay. Green there. I see a red there. Some greens there. Okay. I think this one's incredibly tough. I think Jairus goes, starts green. And then I think he has this crisis moment where it's white. Outside circumstances. Outside circumstances, the others come to him and say, your daughter's dead. So he has a choice right there, whether he's going to stay in the white or he's going to move to green. And what does Jairus choose? He has Jesus come on to his house regardless. And so I think he ends up green, but I think he's in that crisis moment. And I think which I think is helpful for us to see that there are moments in our lives where it's really easy to be green, and then all of a sudden we have a choice. Are we going to be white? Or are we going to be green? Are we going to be red? Or are we going to be green? And we're forced with that choice and that decision, and we got, and we're stuck there for a moment, and we process all of that. Where do we end up? That's the question for us. So I think he started there. So in that story I just told you, part of this chapter is the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. What does she do? She comes, she finds Jesus, she pushes her way through the crowd. And by the way, it's super fascinating. I think it's in the Gospel of Mark. It's super fascinating to see all of these stories. There's a key phrase in there that says, pushes through. Pushes through. Jairus pushes through the crowd to get to Jesus. The woman pushes through the crowd to get to Jesus. The servants push through the crowd to get to Jairus. Oh, hear the difference? But this woman who was bleeding for 12 years pushes through the crowd, and she doesn't even care if Jesus notices her. Technically, she's unclean because she's bleeding. So she comes up and tries just to touch, and Jesus feels power go out through him. And who healed me? Who touched me? So was her heart good soil? Was her heart rocky soil, thorny soil? So I see some greens. What are some of the other choices? Green, green, green. Okay, all right. Are you holding both up? No, green? Okay. Okay. I personally would have chosen green here as well. Because for a woman to be so courageous in this time period, to step forward and to ultimately try and do everything she could out of desperation to see Jesus is a powerful statement. So I would have chosen green as well. Next one. So the Pharisees. Now this is a really broad one, and I know that, but I'm talking about a specific situation. Let me see if I can find it. And by the way, let me stop, pause there for a moment. Some of you are saying, well, what does it mean to have good soil? You want to know what a definition of having good soil is? The Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is what it means to have good soil. The Beatitudes, the attitude of being, is what it means to have good soil. Blessed are you when you're merciful. Blessed are you when you're peaceful. Blessed are you when people persecute you. Blessed are you. And the Beatitudes are what it means to have good soil. That's what it turns out and looks like. When we're not hating our brother, when we're not praying out of pride, when we're not murdering, when we're not committing adultery, when we're not doing all of those things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, but our responses are much deeper and much more powerful, that's what it means to have good soil. So the Pharisees are coming to Jesus and they're saying, hey, Jesus, you're doing this by the demons. There's no way that you're doing this by yourself, and you're not God, and you can't come from God because we disagree with you so much. So the Pharisees blame Jesus and are telling Jesus in this story, in this chapter of the story, they're saying, you're doing this by the devil. So were their hearts good soil? Thorny soil? Black soil? Rocky road soil? Which would you say? White? Black? Okay. Yeah, I see a white, I see black. Okay. I see a black. All right. I see a white. I would have chosen black here as well. But I think white is a great answer as well. I struggled with this one because really they have some knowledge of the Word of God, and they're letting Satan come in and completely take that. So white would be a great answer, but I think ultimately their hearts are black. And that they're saying, this is not what we want. And their refusal to Jesus is pretty strong. Okay. Couple more. So the disciples. Jesus gives this hard teaching. And he says, look, it's going to cost you. Look, I need you to eat of me. I need you to participate in me. And Jesus gives this hard, hard teaching. And a whole bunch of people leave. And Jesus turns to his disciples and say, are you going to leave too? And then Jesus looks at them, and Simon Peter responds and says, where would we go? You're the source of life. So where would we go? So what do you think? Where are their hearts? I see some green. Okay. See some green. All right. I agree with you on the most of the disciples, the followers of Jesus that were that left, I think allowed the circumstances of life. So that one's kind of a tricky question. I probably should have put green on that one the way I described it. But those that left, I think, were red. Okay, so now here's the tough one. Couple more. So the disciples get into a boat. They start going to the other side. Jesus stays behind. They begin to sail, and in the middle of the night, a windstorm comes in. They look over, and all of a sudden they see Jesus floating by or walking on the water. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Peter steps out of the boat, takes a couple steps, notices the wind and the waves, and begins to sink and says, Lord, save me. So Peter, where do you think he was in this story? Huh? Good point. So green, red. I think you're right. I think it's red. He ends up ultimately, I think I put him as white. Why did I go white? Because it's the circumstances of life. Rather, but red makes sense to me as well, because the red is the inward choice to be distracted by something, and it's something in his control. The whitest part is the waves. The red would be his response to the waves. I'm looking at the waves and going, freaking out. But to start with, I think his heart was green, because in the green, it would take a green, good soiled heart for somebody to say, hey, tell me to come to you and walk on water. Right? I would think so anyways. So that one was a tough one, and I get that. All right, two more. These two, last two, you don't have to show your cards for, all right? But I want you to think about them, all right? Footprints Church. As a church, think about this. Are we good soil? Or do we let the circumstances of life distract us? So as Footprints Church, as a whole, do we have good soil? And then lastly, what about you? What about you? Now let's really raise that up. It's easy for us to say, I have a good soil heart. Okay. In this last week, what evidence do you have to show for what you chose? think there were moments that I had white, I had rocky soil. I think there were moments that I experienced thorns just grabbing me in. And by the way, I forgot to tell all of you guys online, you could have sent text messages or messages on the chat. I would have been able to be part of that. But where, even online, do you have good soil? Is our hearts good soil? And as you look back on this last week, what evidence is there to validate your choice? So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you will help us, help our hearts to be good soil. I pray that you will help us in very real and very powerful ways, Lord God, and I pray that you will show us and change us. And I pray that as we go into communion, Jesus, we will allow the word of to your body and blood to take root into our lives. And the meaning of communion and the meaning of what we do, help it to take root in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to experience communion this morning, and I want to encourage you to reflect on that. And no matter where your heart has been, I want you to ask, even in this time of communion, I want you to ask and notice and recognize that our hearts, that Jesus can plow our hearts, make a good soil. So we're going to ask you to come down this aisle and to come, and we will hand you the elements, and then you are welcome to eat and participate in those right away. And we have trash cans on either side, but please keep your distance as you make the aisle, and it does, we're not in a big